You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, September 24th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today for my final show of this week. Tomorrow, I'm leaving on a jet plane on my way to San Francisco Airport, and then from San Francisco Airport all the way across the continent to Boston, Massachusetts, to take part in the 26th annual Boston Freedom Rally. It's going to be a good time, and just because I'm gone tomorrow doesn't mean that Herb Thrasher is gone tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow night for a live edition of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 p.m. He recorded a great interview with Dave Tree out of Boston. Tree's got a new band that he's playing with, so you'll hear all about that on Herb's show Friday night. And if I can possibly manage it, I will call in from the Freedom Rally during Herb's show and give you an update. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, next week I'll be coming back with all sorts of great music and speakers recorded for you. We'll get those played on next week's podcast. On today's show, we've got all sorts of great things to get to, including an extended look at the newest propaganda from Kevin Sabet, the head of Project SAM, the nation's leading anti-legalization propaganda group. And Kevin Sabet, of course, was once called the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement by Rolling Stone magazine. He is the Joker to my Batman, and he has published a new article in Huffington Post about why Rand Paul is wrong about marijuana and Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is right about marijuana. And it's amazing how many lies, obfuscations, distortions, and half-truths he can fit into one short little column. It's going to take me an extended radical rant segment to get to all of it. So stay tuned. Starting at half past, an extended Kevin Sabet reaming in the radical rant. It'll be a lot of fun. Also coming up on the show today in Drug War Data Mining, we're going to take a deep look at the Fatality Analysis Reporting System from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, otherwise known as the FARS from NHTSA. We're going to look at the FARS and see just how the roads have become more safe in the past decade as we've legalized medical and recreational marijuana, even in the states where that has happened, like Colorado, Washington, Oregon, California. We'll take a look at all those stats and give you the talking points you need to debunk the stoned mayhem on the freeways, or SMOF fallacy, that we get from the prohibitionists. Also on the show today, in Behind the Headlines, some local news coming here out of Portland, where the Portland City Council, we reported, is considering a 1,000-foot buffer between medical marijuana dispensaries and pot shops. We'll tell you why that's counterproductive and why we shouldn't even bother having two different shops in the first place. But before all of that, we get to the 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, we've got another marijuana reform in Ohio to talk about. We've got a medical marijuana bill in South Carolina, a task force looking for members in Oregon, new job opportunities here, Denver City inspectors looking for a new job opportunity, and they got a no. A woman in England who was sentenced for growing medical marijuana for cannabis oil, and how much does it cost for the DEA to pull up a pot plant in Oregon? You'll be shocked when you find out. Coming up next on The Russ Melville Show.
You're tuned into The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Radical Russ Melville, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Cannabis culture goes way back, you dig? Way before hippies and beatniks and pigs. Back to hep cats like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway. Soulful dames like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. All the way to old Blue Eyes and the Rat Pack. So come spark up a jazz cigarette and take a trip back to when marijuana was jive, muggles, reefer, and tea. It's the new Viper Hour, daddy-o, see? The early 20th century archives of blues, jazz, and swing that define the cannabis culture and everything. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. and weekends at 1 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org, the home for marijuana music. Yeah.
No, no, they can't take that away from me.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, September 24th, 2015. Ohioans with marijuana convictions could have their records purged if the campaign group pushing for marijuana legalization gets its way. Responsible Ohio is pushing the move and is also the main campaign group backing a proposed constitutional amendment, Issue 3, that would legalize both recreational and medical marijuana in the state. The ballot initiative would permit Ohioans to grow small amounts of marijuana in their homes, while commercial growing would be limited to 10 sites. The vote will be held November 3rd. Responsible Ohio claims to have collected 236,759 signatures in support of the Fresh Start Act, which would allow people with convictions made legal by Issue 3 to file a petition to the courts to expunge their criminal records. A Senate panel has advanced a bill legalizing marijuana in South Carolina for patients suffering from an array of ailments recognized by a doctor. The bipartisan sponsors of the proposal, sent to a full Senate committee Thursday, wanted suggestions to make the bill better. It would allow qualified patients and caregivers to possess limited amounts of marijuana and creates a seed-to-sale tracking system. Law enforcement officials and the South Carolina Baptist Convention opposed the bill. It makes the state's health agency responsible for licensing marijuana growers, processors, and dispensaries. A South Carolina law approved last year allows people suffering from severe epilepsy to use a non-psychoactive oil derived from marijuana to control their seizures. Oregon needs members for a new short-term task force on medical marijuana. Following the passage of Senate Bill 844, Oregon authorities have to organize the group quickly so it can report back to the legislature by February 1st. The Cannabis Research Task Force will produce a report on a range of issues, from the latest research on medical marijuana to legal obstacles to proposing a location for a research grow site in the state. The report will also look at the potential for Oregon to collaborate with other states, consider hurdles faced by labs and review boards when it comes to medical marijuana, and figure out ways to fund research. There will be 15 people on the board, with Governor Kate Brown having the final say on who is appointed. The group will meet 8 times for about 3 hours a session, with meetings in Corvallis and Portland. Travel expenses will be reimbursed. Denver City Inspectors for Marijuana Licensing asked the Board of Ethics for its blessing to work as paid consultants to the cannabis industry elsewhere. In a resounding no this week, the board balked. Its advisory opinion cites concerns about potential conflicts of interest and bad appearances, saying such work would violate the city's code of ethics. When the board discussed the inspector's request for an ethics opinion last week, before issuing its formal guidance Tuesday, Chairman Brian Spano spoke more plainly, saying, quote, "I just think it's too close a call to be a paid consultant in the industry you're regulating for the city," end quote. That would be true, he added, even if potential clients aim to open businesses outside of Denver or even Colorado. The inspector's request reflects some remaining uncertainty as Denver and Colorado traverse the new landscape of legal recreational marijuana. A woman who grew cannabis worth 34,000 pounds to extract... A woman who grew cannabis worth 34,000 pounds to extract hemp oil to act as a painkiller for her dying husband has been sentenced to an 18-month community order after a judge accepted she was not embroiled in a commercial enterprise. Jeanette Hurst, age 58, produced the oil to be used as treatment for her cancer-suffering husband, Roy, a former prison and drugs officer. Sentencing her to an 18-month community order with supervision and a specified activity requirement, Judge Jonathan Gibson warned her that if she were to do it again, she would likely face a substantial custodial sentence. The Drug Enforcement Administration spent $960,000 to destroy marijuana plants in that state in 2014 as part of its cannabis eradication program, according to a recent report by NBC affiliate KGW in Portland, Oregon. That year, the DEA succeeded in removing 16,067 pot plants from Oregon, which at first blush sounds like a lot of weed. But when you do the math, that works out to cost to taxpayers of $60 per uprooted plant. That is a lot to consider when nationally it costs the DEA... yes, $4.20 to eliminate a single marijuana plant under the program. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, September 24th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest-growing business association in the fastest-growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Portland City Council met yesterday to discuss a proposed ordinance to require all medical marijuana dispensaries in the city to be located more than 1,000 feet from recreational pot shops and vice versa. But they tabled that discussion after objections from activists in the marijuana reform community who claimed the ordinance creates more problems and solves nothing. Now, the current rules keep dispensaries 1,000 feet from each other, as well as schools and parks and other sensitive locations. The rules also forbid the soon-to-be pot shops from being 1,000 feet of each other. But there was nothing stopping a medical marijuana dispensary from being located adjacent to a recreational pot shop. Now, the Portland Mercury reported that lobbyists representing the existing medical marijuana dispensaries were requesting this ordinance because they fear on losing out on the transition to becoming lucrative recreational shops if someone else were to open up a competing new recreational shop nearby. These dispensary operators feel that they pioneered the legal marijuana market and they should be given preference as it adds recreational consumers. Now, my friend, activist Lindsay Reinhart, was at the meeting to testify against the ordinance, and she tells me that the council put off the decision on the ordinance until next week's meeting. Other activists pointed to the unintended consequences such an ordinance would provoke. Given that medical marijuana dispensaries number over 100 in Portland already, the best traffic locations that comport with the 1,000-foot buffer zone have already been taken. A new recreational pot shop would have to locate in the few allowable zones left. Recreational consumers would have to bypass the numerous dispensaries close by to drive out to some far-flung location to purchase legal marijuana. If many or most of the medical dispensaries convert to recreational sales, however, the opposite will be true. Except this time, it's a sick or disabled person who has to decide whether to pay a likely 20% tax on marijuana at the nearby pot shop or find someone to drive them to the far-flung location to purchase tax-free medicine. What terrible consequence befalls society if two or more marijuana stores are near one another? There are places I can go in Portland to find multiple strip clubs, coffee shops, taverns, food carts, theaters, and clothing retailers all within 1,000 feet of each other. They provide a comparison shopping benefit for the consumer. Why should we encourage greater traveling distance for marijuana consumers to comparison shop? The city officials say they're leery of pot-saturated locales reminiscent of Hayden Island's Lottery Row. But under current rules, legalization means an area goes from having one marijuana-selling building within 1,000 feet to two. It would hardly be like Lottery Row. The real question is, why should there be two different buildings for selling marijuana? Oregon has a complete regulatory system for the production, processing, and sales of marijuana to adults who use it for medicine, run by the Oregon Health Authority. Oregon has another complete regulatory system for the production, processing, and sales of marijuana to adults who use it for fun, run by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. So, Portland has to have two separate buildings for the adults to buy marijuana from, depending on why they're buying it. Can you imagine if we had one fruit stand that sold oranges to people who like oranges, but a separate fruit stand that sold oranges to people suffering from vitamin C deficiency? How about one car lot that sells cars to people who like road trips and a separate car lot that sells cars to people who must commute to work? It is because of this ridiculous separation of marijuana markets that ridiculous ordinances exist like the one Portland is considering. Medical marijuana advocates will tell you that patients need high-quality medicine and well-trained servers to help them select it. Patients should also not be taxed for their medical purchases. Without separate dispensaries, they argue, there won't be a guaranteed supply of medically specific marijuana products like CBD oil, RSO oil, salves, and tinctures. So, why not just have one system for producing, processing, and selling marijuana? Set the quality regulations and service standards at the point the patient requires. The recreational consumer isn't going to mind not being poisoned by pesticides and being served by a medically knowledgeable bud tender. Require by regulation that a certain percentage of product produced and sold in pot shops must be medically specific varieties. Then, just don't press that tax button on the cash register or limit a customer to 1 ounce when it's a patient making the purchase. Under this scenario, pot shops could still be kept 1,000 feet from each other without negatively impacting patients or recreational consumers. It's so damn logical. I expect it'll be years, if ever, before we see it happen.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
All right, it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone, and I'm feeling a little Elmer Fuddy today. A little Elmer Fuddy. I've got this dental problem, and it's hard for me to say re. Gotta get those sounds out. I have the weirdest problems sometimes. When we come back, we got FARS data. FARS data from NHTSA in the Drug War Data Mines.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen weekends at 11 a.m. Pacific for Stony Sunday, podcasting at stonysunday.com. Cannabis patient and activist Coral Reefer is one of the most popular marijuana personalities on YouTube. Her Stony Sunday and news nugs entertain and educate the young adult audience. Check our online listings for Stony Sunday with Coral Reefer from stonysunday.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we head to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, known as NHTSA, N-H-T-S-A, for data on highway crash fatalities. And this can be found in something called FARS, F-A-R-S, the Fatality Analysis Reporting System. In fact, if you just type NHTSA FARS into Google, N-H-T-S-A space F-A-R-S, you can find this fantastic treasure trove of data on driving in the United States, broken down by state with data going back to 1994. You can learn what types of cars people get in wrecks with, how many passengers were in the car at the time, and so forth. But the data we're taking a look at today is the fatalities, people who die in traffic accidents in the United States. And in 2013, that was 32,719 people in the United States, which is the second lowest number ever recorded since 1994. In fact, the lowest 5 years of traffic fatalities have been the last 5 years for which we have data, 2009 through 2013. In overall numbers throughout the entire United States, we've had fewer people per year die. So this fear that is foisted upon us by the prohibitionists that we're legalizing marijuana and it'll lead to this stoned mayhem on the freeways doesn't seem to be taking hold. Now, when you look at the overall fatalities, it can be a little bit misleading because from year to year, there may be more drivers or more miles driven. You know, depending on the weather, there may be people taking longer road trips. Depending on the price of gas, people may be driving more. So whether or not the fatalities went up or down needs to be moderated by considering a fatality rate. And the common measurement that they use in FARS is the rate of deaths per 100 million miles driven. This way, you can somewhat compare drivers in Texas to drivers in Rhode Island, let's say. And in the United States, the rate per 100 million miles driven is now down to 1.09. That is the lowest rate recorded since 1994, when it was at the high of 1.73. So the United States, as a whole, it has gotten safer to drive since 1994. And keep in mind, that's 2 years before California passes Prop 215 to legalize medical marijuana. In the medical marijuana era, it has gotten progressively safer year by year, with an occasional exception for it to be, the number has dropped year by year. I think there's one exception where it went up, and that was 2012, went up from 1.1 to 1.14. Aside from that, it's dropped every year in the medical marijuana era. Now, in 1994, we can also get the numbers for Washington and Colorado. Interestingly, Colorado was almost exactly the same rate in 1994 as the United States. It was 1.74 compared to 1.73 nationwide. Today, in 2013, after they've legalized marijuana and they have pot shops where people can go buy marijuana, their rate is 1.02. 1.02 compared to the United States rate of 1.09. And looking at Washington State, it's always been a safer place to drive than Colorado or the United States as a whole. In 1994, its rate was 1.35. Now, after they've legalized marijuana and have pot shops where people can get marijuana, their rate is down to 0.76, one of the lowest rates in the United States, and far below the United States rate of 1.09. We can add other states to the mix as well. Here in the state of Oregon, of course, we have legalized marijuana. Our legalized marijuana has taken us from 1994's rating of 1.68 to 0.93, which is again below the 1.09 rate of the United States as a whole. Alaska has gotten dramatically safer. In 1994, 2.05 per 100 million miles driven. Two deaths per 100 million miles driven, which has now declined to 1.05. Again, lower than the United States average. So if marijuana legalization in these four states is going to have some sort of effect on traffic rates, we must not have seen it yet. Now, the prohibitionists will always say, wait till next year, you'll see, it'll be more dangerous, you'll see. But so far, the data we have found do not back up the assertion that we are going to have stoned mayhem on the freeways in the case of having legal marijuana. In fact, looking at all 50 states, if you take a look at those with the worst rates of deaths, all of them are states in the top 10 that do not have, only one, Arizona, has medical marijuana. Top 10 has one medical marijuana state with deaths greater than the national average. Your next 10, New Mexico is the one medical marijuana state in that group with deaths greater than the national average. When we come back, we'll have time for an extended radical rant debunking Kevin Sabet's latest piece in the Huffington Post. I'll see y'all at the Boston Freedom Rally this weekend. I'll be the white guy smoking weed. You'll be able to pick me out. We're back right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, folks, the Joker to my Batman, Kevin Sabet, is at it again, out there misleading you about marijuana legalization in the mainstream press. This time, it's a piece up on Huffington Post that is entitled, Rand Paul Gets It Wrong, Sonia Sotomayor Gets It Right on Pot. Of course, we all know Kevin Sabet is the professional anti-pot propagandist. He is a PhD in public policy, not medicine or science. And it's his job to trot out half-truths, distortions, and outright lies to confuse the national discussion on marijuana legalization. And fortunately for all of us, I'm here to call him on it. Now, the source of his article is the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Report. It's called The Legalization of Marijuana in Colorado, The Impact, Volume 3, which he claims proves that the legalization of marijuana, quote, has already had an alarming impact on Coloradoans' public safety and health, end quote. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. It's one of many throughout the United States, these HIDTAs, H-I-D-T-As, and this is the one for Colorado, Wyoming, parts of Idaho, and parts of Utah, I think it is. And it is, quote, an important component of the president's national drug control strategy, according to its bio. And, of course, it's getting taxpayer money to, quote, help eliminate or reduce drug trafficking and its harmful consequences, end quote. So, what it really is an arm of the drug czar's office. And we've told you before that the drug czar is statutorily required to oppose all legalization efforts. Yes, this is absolutely true. The drug czar is required by law to lie about marijuana. In Title VII of the Drug Czar's Reauthorization Act of 1998, it says the responsibilities of the director shall ensure that no federal funds appropriated to the Office of National Drug Control Policy shall be expended for any study or contract relating to the legalization for medical or any other use of a substance listed in Schedule I, and to take such actions as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize the use of a substance in any form that is listed in Schedule 1. So it's the drug czar's job. He must go forth and oppose, regardless of what the data might say, must oppose legalization efforts. That's part of why the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Agency is releasing this report. And the other reason it comes to its conclusions is because it's a bureaucracy that requires finding failure in legalization to maintain its budget. For an example of the thorough scientific analysis the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area performs on marijuana data, look no further than page 30. Misread that. In its review of a crash risk study from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the Rocky Mountain boys write, quote, researchers found that marijuana users are 25 times more likely to be in an accident than those that did not use the drug. By comparison, drunk drivers are 4 times more likely to crash than sober drivers, end quote. That's the Rocky Mountain guys wrote, but they didn't compose that sentence. The Rocky Mountain boys cut and pasted that verbatim from an article in the International Business Times. It was entitled, Drug Use on U.S. Roads Rises as Drunken Driving Drops. That article links to a study from NHTSA entitled, Drug and Alcohol Crash Risk Study. The problem for the Rocky Mountain boys, and by extension Kevin Sabet for praising their work, is that the study referred to stated that there was a 1.25 odds risk ratio for THC positive drivers versus sober drivers. That means a 25% greater risk, not 25 times greater risk. And of course, 1.25, far safer than the 4.0 greater risk posed by drunk drivers mentioned by that study. But wait, it gets worse for Kevin. The study then goes on to conclude, quote, when demographic factors, age and gender, and alcohol use were controlled, the study did not find an increase in population-based crash risk associated with THC use, end quote. In other words, young male drivers are the nation's worst drivers, statistically speaking, especially if they're drinkers, and they also happen to be the demographic with the greatest marijuana use rates. In his article, Kevin then trots out other scare stats from the Rocky Mountain boys that bear a similar disdain for honest evaluation of the facts. One of them says, quote, a 32% increase in marijuana-related traffic deaths in just 1 year, end quote. Now, the problem with this is that marijuana-related means we discovered active THC or inactive carboxy THC, the metabolite, in the bodies of drivers who died in car wrecks. Yep. And you're probably more likely to find married gays or married lesbians dying in car wrecks these days, too, now that gay marriage is legal. It doesn't mean legalizing gay marriage has led to more traffic deaths. The problem with the marijuana-related deaths is that carboxy THC can be detected for up to 30 days. And even active THC can be detected for up to 5 days after total abstinence from marijuana. Now that marijuana is legal in Colorado, what are the chances any random person might have used some in the past month? And by the way, overall traffic deaths in Colorado are down. Either everyone else is driving a hell of a lot safer to compensate for all the stone drivers, or marijuana legalization hasn't really had any effect on traffic safety. After all, legalization didn't invent cars and driving. Do you think all the stoners got to Haight-Ashbury and Woodstock walking? Kevin uses this same Rocky Mountain sleight of hand to proclaim, quote, a 38% increase in the number of marijuana-related hospitalizations, end quote, which, like the car wrecks, just tells us that sometimes people who smoke pot go to the hospital. If you smoked a joint on Saturday night, and then you got into a fender bender Monday morning, and you went to the hospital, and they found that marijuana metabolite in your urine, you're a marijuana-related hospitalization. If you go up on the ski lift, ski a bunch that day, and then go into the doctor later because you're complaining you twisted your knee, and he asks what you've been doing, and you mentioned that you smoked pot, you are a marijuana-related hospitalization, because with this data set, in addition to the detection of the THC or the detection of the metabolites, we also get to add in the people who tell their doctor that they use marijuana. Now that marijuana is legal in Colorado, do you suppose people are a bit more forthcoming about using it? You think maybe they're a little less reluctant to talk to their doctor and tell them they use cannabis when it's legal? Just keep this in mind when Kevin eventually trots out the talking point about kids and accidental marijuana ingestion admissions. Same principle. Do you suppose a parent is more likely to report their kid getting into their now legal marijuana stash rather than lie about whatever it was that made their kid sick? Oh, we must have got into, I think it's food poisoning. We had some bad deviled eggs I think he got into. Yeah. Or even worse, think, well, he's not that bad off. Maybe we should just wait this out rather than get the cops involved in checking out whether we've got pot at the house. Then Kevin and the Rocky Mountain boys toss out this non sequitur, quote, Colorado youth usage age 12 to 17 ranks 56% higher than the national average. End quote. Well, yeah, but here's an example of something that is true, but totally misleading without context. Yes, after legalization, in the 2012 through 2013 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, Colorado's teen monthly use rate was 11.16%, compared to the national rate of 7.15%, and that is a difference of 56%. And before legalization, the average Colorado rate in the 2008 through 2010 National Survey on Drug Use and Health was 13.25%, the national rate was 8.61%, a difference of 54%. Colorado has always had greater teen usage rates than the nation as a whole. Reforming marijuana laws doesn't lead to greater marijuana use. That's not my opinion. That's from studies, the latest of which looked at the medical marijuana states and found there was no reason to believe, statistically speaking, that the imposition or the creation, I should say, of medical marijuana laws in that state had any impact on whether the teenagers decided to use marijuana. What it is that places that have greater marijuana use are hotbeds of support for reforming the marijuana laws. Reforming the laws doesn't lead to greater use. Places with greater use demand reforms of marijuana laws. It's simple enough to understand, but as Upton Sinclair once said, it is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it. That is the case with Kevin Sabet, Project Sam, and the prohibitionists at the Rocky Mountain high-intensity drug trafficking area, who are desperately looking for any reason to see that marijuana legalization is a failure and thereby justify their existence and their budgets. Stay tuned for part two of this radical rant coming up next, where I'll give you exactly how crazy some of their claims are starting to get as these prohibitionist dinosaurs slowly sink into the tar pits of history. I'm Radical Russ, heading off to the Boston Freedom Rally this weekend. Hope to see some of you out there on the Boston Common Saturday and Sunday. I'll be speaking twice and recording interviews. It's going to be a good time. We'll see you there.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
It's a fact. Pot hurts. That's why we don't do pot.
You just don't feel in control.
You know you did something stupid, but you don't remember what.
It just makes you lazy.
You forget things. You really do.
It's kind of scary, and you really feel alone.
It's a fact. Pot hurts.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
This is Lori Duckworth, and I'm here with the Hempery, Greta Gaines Company, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
In part one of this radical rant, Kevin Sabet is misleading you again about marijuana legalization. I told you about his newest piece in Huffington Post entitled "Rand Paul Gets It Wrong, Sonia Sotomayor Gets It Right on Pot." The piece is, of course, filled with half-truths, distortions, and outright lies designed to confuse the national discussion on marijuana legalization. And that's typical of Kevin's propaganda, because he's clearly losing the battle for the hearts and minds of Americans when it comes to marijuana legalization. Latest polls show that even two-thirds of Republicans in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, the early primary states, think it is a matter to be left up to the states. It's gotten Kevin so shaken up that his organization desperately latched on to a new 2014 statistic showing, in their press release's all caps headline, "Heavy marijuana use soaring among young people!" When in fact, they transposed the data that showed heavy marijuana use actually decreased almost 15%. Ah, Kevin Sabet. I've been following him for a while, and prior to legalization, it was August, or I think it was August of 2012, he was warning that, quote, taxes gained on legal drugs would be quickly offset by the social costs resulting from this increased use. Witness how today society receives about $1 in alcohol and tobacco tax revenue for every $10 lost on the social costs of those two legal drugs, end quote. $1 in alcohol and tobacco tax means $10 in social costs, so we shouldn't legalize marijuana. But now that Washington and Colorado have added $200 million in pot revenues to the state treasuries, you don't hear that talking point anymore, since he'd have to come up with $2 billion in devastation to back it up. Or even just $200 million in devastation to break even. And that's without considering the savings in police, probation, parole, prison, and rehab no longer wasted on marijuana consumers. Kevin used to warn that legalization wouldn't affect the Mexican drug cartels. He actually argued, quote, "The drug trade is so profitable that even undercutting the legal taxed market price would leave cartels with a handsome profit," end quote. But then the Washington Post reported on the farmers in Mexico who are giving up on marijuana planting because there's no profit in it. Strange, you don't hear that Mexican drug cartel talking point anymore. But Kevin Sabet's out there trying desperately to maintain the criminal prohibition of marijuana. And it's tough because people have come to recognize that the drug war is a failure, and by super majorities do not believe responsible adult marijuana consumers ought to be punished by anything more than a fine when it comes to marijuana, and certainly not arrests and jail time. Knowing that, he tries to paint himself in this kind, compassionate, third way position, saying that, quote, "Arresting and imprisoning people solely for having or using small amounts of marijuana is not the solution for such cases and often aggravates addictions," end quote. But his kinder, gentler drug war solution is to continue arresting and imprisoning people who grow marijuana, continue arresting and imprisoning people who sell marijuana, continue arresting and imprisoning people who possess a medium or large amount of marijuana. But for those caught with the small amount of marijuana, he proposes mandatory interventions with rehab doctors who will enforce involuntary abstinence from marijuana by requiring urine tests that carry criminal punishments for failure. That's Kevin Sabet's kinder, gentler third way. Kevin's latest talking point is the fear-mongering over the legal marijuana industry and how it's set to become Big Tobacco 2.0. Now, Kevin is notoriously opaque about how Project Sam is funded. I have found, however, through open records requests, that he is personally paid $3,000 plus expenses for every lecture he delivers. The beneficiaries of his propaganda, though, couldn't be more transparently obvious. Who benefits when Kevin Sabet spreads lies about marijuana legalization? Well, big rehab for one. Over half of the referrals to rehabs that receive taxpayer money for marijuana alone are forced there by the criminal justice system. If you are in a rehab that's getting public taxpayer money, and you're there and the only drug you're there for is marijuana, it's a better than 50-50 chance you're there because you were forced there by a drug court. And marijuana is so non-addictive that once you're there in the rehab and they threaten you with jail time for failing a piss test, it's really easy for you to stop. You can quit for the 30 days and pass all the tests. That helps big rehab and the drug courts by boosting their success rates. Drug courts are able to cure 90% of the people that come in. Yeah, because most of the people coming in were people who weren't addicted to any hard drug. It's no surprise, by the way, when you look at the board of directors for Project Sam, that a majority of them work in big rehab. Who else benefits by Kevin Sabet's obfuscations about marijuana facts? Big Pharma. Research indicates that, quote, "Medical cannabis laws are associated with significantly lower state-level opioid overdose mortality rates," end quote. Because, quote, "Medical cannabis patients have been engaging in substitution by using cannabis as an alternative to alcohol, prescription, and illicit drugs," end quote. It's not a good business plan for Big Pharma for you to be able to grow a bud in your backyard and use less of the oxycodone. Use less of the fentanyl. Use less of the Vicodin. Not a good business plan. And even at the over-the-counter level, how many people will forgo the Aleve pain reliever or the Ambien sleeping pill? I guess Ambien's not over-the-counter. Whatever. How many people are going to give up the pain reliever or the sleeping pill for the relaxing puff off a legal marijuana joint? Not a good business plan for Big Pharma. And of course, the biggest recipients, the biggest beneficiaries of Kevin Sabet's repeated half-truths and misstatements and out-of-context truths about marijuana are law enforcement. Cops get federal money to pull marijuana plants and bust marijuana consumers, as well as the assets that are forfeited when cops make their drug dogs false alert to marijuana. And then the drug courts getting those high success rates by threatening marijuana consumers with jail for piss tests. And the private prisons that benefit from the higher occupancy rates and the slave labor of well-behaved marijuana consumers. As for Justice Sotomayor, Kevin's referring to a snarky comment she made that said more about her desire to see students become passionate about other social justice issues that she finds more important. Not so much that she's against people standing up for marijuana legalization. And just like the Rocky Mountain high-intensity drug trafficking region picked up on an article that was miswritten and didn't reply properly to the, or didn't comport properly with the study that it was written about, Kevin Sabet has done a very similar thing in misquoting Justice Sotomayor. He relays the quote as, "I don't care what kind of thing you become passionate about, just not legalizing marijuana." The Amherst Gazette-Net at the school, Amherst, where she was speaking, transcribed the quote as, "I don't care what kind of thing you become passionate about, except legalizing marijuana." But the video, archived by Marijuana Majority's Tom Angel, clearly tells you the context of what she was saying.
"I don't really care what kind of thing you become passionate about. Maybe legalizing marijuana, but, you know, even that has people who have been passionate and have accomplished something, okay?
Even that has people that are passionate and have accomplished something, okay? Not exactly a denunciation of marijuana legalization. So Kevin Sabet's agenda is clear, and mine is also pretty simple and, frankly, selfish. I'm a middle-aged, self-employed, childless adult who owns no car and travels on Portland, Oregon's marvelous public transit, the Pacific Northwest Amtrak line, and airlines all across the country. Since we've legalized marijuana here, today seems no different than the day I got here 12 years ago, except I don't fear police anymore, and I don't have to wait in a parking lot for some weed dealer. I can see no logical reason why any government in America should punish me to coerce me to stop using cannabis. I see no logical reason why any government in America should force me to purchase my cannabis from criminal underground markets." Unfortunately for Kevin Sabet, more and more Americans are agreeing with me. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for Hour 2 in the podcast. But you live listeners on 420 Radio, check us out. We're going into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. The phone lines are open at 844-420 Radio. That's 844-207-2346. We'll talk more about this Kevin Sabet piece. Also, opine a bit on the Oregon buffer zones. And looking forward to the Boston Freedom Rally. Plus, Groovin' Thursday music with Chuck Diesel. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.